Good morning. Today is Monday, December the 5th. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief, Mr. Mills.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing good, but I'm kind of awake. You're kind of looking a little fatigued here.
Am I?
A little celebration with the Chargers yesterday?
Yeah, Chargers. I actually switched to be a Raiders fan.
Now. Oh, yeah. All right. All right. Yeah, you front runner. You betcha.
Yeah. I don't think as a pro team you should be a loyalist. You're only loyal to those that win. You're paying them money to win.
That's true. Yeah, I think that's probably part of the compounding factor. The pressure starts.
Right.
You look at the guys at the other side of the bay. Yeah. Our quote this morning comes from Henry Miller. I have no money, no resources, no hopes. I'm the happiest man alive. Oh, boy. This time of the year, how do you work with the staff? Is it a time of everybody's happy? Is it a time of fatigue because of, you know, nobody wants to take a domestic call during the holidays, you know, or that type of thing? Which way does that one go for folks?
It goes, people are fatigued. It's a busy time of the year anyway, but then the holiday brings a lot more upon it. And so you wind up consequently chasing your tails, and we get more robberies this time of year because there's a lot of marijuana product out there. We get more robberies this time of year because people are desperate for money, not only addictions, but including the holidays. So it's just a busy time of the year, and we expect our folks to work a lot of overtime this time of the year also, which takes them away from their families. So it's something we have to watch pretty carefully.
Do a lot of the charitable outreaches that happen this time of the year or culminate at this time of the year, does that help to kind of balance things out a little bit? Reduce the pressure, so to speak, on those who might be tempted to commit crimes?
No, I don't see that. I see that, this is all anecdotal, but,
you got better start counting for something after four decades, yeah. You know?
I think that the people who are reaching out for help and get help are people who truly need it, and that doesn't really change much. It's the people who are the dope fiends, who are the ones breaking into your cars and into your homes and into your lives in many ways. And then others who are just plain greedy, and those two things aren't going to stop just because somebody puts a charity together.
Have you seen a reduction in the number of goofies in the neighborhood? That's my now all-encompassing. You, I know, have different words for them. I'll just call them goofies. Because of the weather, the rain has started. Obviously, now we're starting to get a little bit of the temperature falling also. Or do they tend to migrate south?
No. In fact, what we're seeing is Brian Hall, I think, put out the other day, they had 140 people at the mission, an enormous amount. And so I think some of that is people coming off the hills. Trimming season's over. We're being inundated with those who were maybe working, and they're not going to end up staying any place.
KINS, News and Information Times, 819. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back talking shop this morning with Andy Mills. Andy, this time of the year is always a little bit challenging also, in addition to the weather and some of the stressors that are there. But I think it's changing. There was a report this morning, and I forget which of the CBS guys reported on it, but last 10 days, so you've got, and Sapper's comment is what triggered it for me. You had Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Cyber Monday, Independent or Small Business Saturday, all these things. But for the first time, virtual sales outpaced brick and mortar sales, dollar wise. Are you guys starting to see that there's going to be, that we're seeing this shift locally also? Meaning there's less cars driving with things in them. Well, of course, the UPS trucks now become a huge target, don't they?
Well, I'm waiting for the drones to come and drop it on your in your backyard.
Pizza and a diamond ring.
Yeah, exactly.
As the marketplace shifts, do you guys pay attention to that kind of stuff also, or do you wait for the impact after it rather than trying to anticipate and be proactive on it?
Well, I'd love to tell you that we're just brilliant tacticians and that we are thoughtfully thinking about that, but no, we really respond more to those problems. But you know, it's interesting because Steve Watson did a really nice job on something. He put those little parking ticket looking things together that said pass fail, and what he'd do is walked around, looked in cars, and said if they had stuff worth stealing visible, he put this little parking ticket looking thing on the car. And we had some of our officers do that in the Old Town area. We'll probably try to spread that to other parts of the city. And so Kathy and I were out to breakfast, I think, a couple Saturdays ago, and I'm walking to my car, and I look in a person's car as I'm walking by, and it's got a mason jar sitting in the center console. And inside the mason jar is probably $200 in ones, fives, and tens.
Oh, not change.
No.
Just small denominations.
Yeah. You know, just stuffed in this mason jar. It was, you know, I thought, this is why cars get broken into. You know, put a big flashing neon sign on top of the car that says, break into my car and take my money.
Alarm activated.
No alarm on top of it. And some of our, you know, desperate people aren't going to care if there's an alarm. They're just going to put their hoodie up and run out. So people can help us help them by taking crap out of their cars and not leaving things visible. You know, if you hide it, you lock it, you're probably going to keep it. But if you just put it in the middle of your car, and even for a few minutes, on the way over here this morning, I was driving around the neighborhood with my cup of coffee and drove through one little cul-de-sac, and there's a SUV running with the windows all steamed over, brand new SUV. The front window of the house had its shades pulled. The door was shut, and the car was running. Nobody in the car. Most of the cars we get stolen in Humboldt County have the keys in the ignition. So we've all got to be a little bit smarter. Should we be able to leave our vehicles with our keys in the ignition? Of course. But the reality is you can't. And so
you locked it for him to make sure that it wouldn't get stolen?
Yeah, exactly.
What a guy.
Pat me on the back.
It's got to be intriguing this time of the year, any time of the year, people not thinking.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've used Arnie Millsap's quote forever and ever, and it just resonates so readily. Stupid in public. There are just so many opportunities. You're running into them. You're sort of kind of looking, but you're not really looking for them. If somebody really wanted to, I wonder how many other things there are.
Well, you know, there's two theories of crime behavior. One is the most crime is opportunistic. You're just a mope kind of going through life and walking down the street, and here's a car that's worth breaking into. I got a rock in my hand. I'm just going to break out this window. And hey, suddenly a rock appeared out of nowhere. And you break into this car and you take a little money. I mean, what's the incentive not to do it right now? You're not going to go to prison for it. You're not going to go to jail for it. No, we're going to hook you up and take you to jail, so you're going to get, 100 years one day at a time. And so there has to be, we have to do a better job at crime prevention.
So if opportunity was one, planned would be the other?
Yeah. Well, okay. The other is routine activity theory. But we won't go into the theories right now. You do have listeners that want to stay, that you want to keep listening.
Yeah. They are driving out on the road. We don't want to be, appreciate that.
Yeah.
Is Christmas, do you see a spike?
Yeah.
In criminal, it is there. It is real. Yeah. It's not a legend or a myth or anything like that.
No, statistically, we can take a look at data over a pretty long period of time, and you'll see spikes. Now, what you have to do is compare seasons rather than the time before. So when we look at our crime stats, we don't look at the quarter before. We look at the quarter, same quarter of the previous year. Because you're not
like beat the day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so like in February, you know, the next quarter, we're going to see a decrease in crime, hopefully. You know, and so, you know, it'd be easy for chiefs to say, you know, I just had a 60% decrease in crime. Look how good I am. When the reality is, if you compare it to the previous quarter of the same year, it may be consistent or a little bit higher.
Do you cross-reference the weather?
We don't. I do know of one project that did. The bomb just went off. You know, Richmond, Virginia did a study of their homicides, and it was very interesting. They correlated to weather, and it was an interesting project.
Well, I would think if, you know, shopping like this time of the year, if it's raining cats and dogs, probably not as much shopping going on, probably just not as many of you guys walking around, probably less crime.
Probably.
Probably. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Talk Shop presented by Redick, Salvation Army, and by CDH Painting. Andy, this time of the year, we start to hear typically also about shelters, all-weather shelters, this shelter, that shelter. It was kind of a first, I guess, legit frost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the rain will take care of that in the next little bit, but are there plans for an emergency shelter like we've seen? Boy, I think it started in the 80s. Are there other plans that are at work? What's going on in that arena?
Well, we always have plans for emergencies so people can be housed. We certainly care about the human condition as a city government. And so St. Vincent de Paul will open up as needed when there's overflow from the rescue mission. And just want to give a shout out to Brian Hall and just say what a wonderful job the rescue mission has done housing people and caring for them. And if there are people out there who find it in their hearts at this time of the year to help out, both Brian and Betty are doing just an amazing job that really helps the quality of life in our city for all of us.
Have you turned on your attitude on this? I know in the past it was kind of like, well, are these guys really proving their mettle to you now?
Well, I think that I was always supportive. I've always been supportive of Betty and Brian. And I think that they've just always done an amazing job. It didn't take me, I'm not a smart guy, but it didn't take me too long when I came here to figure out that those two were truly laying their own skin on the line and making stuff happen. There are others that I'm not necessarily so supportive of because I want to see action with words. And those two put actions to it. And the thing that I like about both of them is that they have control. So wherever Betty's Container Village goes, Blue Angel Village, Betty is in control. And people are held to a standard. And same thing with Brian. And that's, I know people sometimes don't like those standards, but that's what helps us make things happen as a society. There has to be some level of regulation.
How impacted are the neighborhoods? The rescue mission, I mean, it's been there for a long, long time.
Yeah.
We both have got buds who are within a half block away from there.
Right.
Is it controlled enough where the impact is really limited? Do you still have concerns?
I have concerns. After feeding in the morning, people disperse throughout the downtown area, and it does become problematic. I have Corey Cernich working full-time down there as patrol officer. I've also got Wayne Rabang and Neil Hubbard doing a marvelous job working down there and helping to keep control and regulation. And it's not so much the folks that are leaving the programs. It's the folks who have just decided that they're going to camp in any door stoop they feel like. That becomes more problematic.
Two different segments
of the community. If people want a place to lay their head at nighttime, we're doing everything within our power as a government to make sure that happens. And it's not just the police. I mean, it's the city manager's office all the way down to public works. I mean, all of us are unified on this. We're working together hard on it and making things happen. You asked about the community members, the impact on them. We sat down with the businesses in over by Washington Coster Street before we put the containers in there. And that was facilitated, and HUM CPR was involved in it as well as the local businesses. And, you know, it was interesting. They had some really strong feelings. And one of the feelings that they had was, you know, we are disproportionately picked on by having three different camps all close to us. We had Del Norte, we had Washington Coster, and we had the Footer Marina. And they said, we're okay trying to do our part to help out, but please just don't crowd this much in here because we are just getting hammered with burglaries and thefts and so forth. We saw the value in what they were saying, and now that's one of the reasons we got rid of the temporary sleeping facility. We would just move it around because it just became an unwieldy nightmare. So now,
because of unregulation,
there's nobody to watch over this and say, no, you can't bring all this stuff in here that, you know, we gave you a barrel, a 55 gallon drum to protect your valuables, the things that you have. But that wound up being three and four barrels and stuff piled on top of it. And Park and Rec would have to go in and clean all that stuff up afterward. It was just really hard. So I think it's working now. I saw one of the business owners Friday night at dinner and asked him. And he said, well, I just had an incident of theft, but it wasn't related to the container village. And so I think overall, when there's oversight and it's done professionally and it looks good and there's people can take a little bit of pride, but at the same time find that ability to regulate and become more healthy, that it's a win for everybody. So when you have a place to sleep inside, I think that's the key element.
So do you adjust patrols?
Yes.
So if there's just a little bit more presence?
Well, it's a lot more presence. We have routine calls for service built into our software where it just automatically dispatches officers on a regular interval so that officers are going by and will adjust those intervals. And officers, the guys take and ladies take a great deal of care. One thing I've been very impressed with EPD is if I ask them to do something, we need you to check on this business because they've been broken into twice, or they are very consistent in doing that. And it's something I really appreciate.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop. Final few moments with Chief Mills this morning. Andy, you'd said that you wanted to kind of bring the community up to speed a little bit with some of the legal stuff that you guys, not you guys instigating, not you responding, but through the court system. Go. Well, all right, maybe it was a tough question.
Yeah. Choked on that one. There are two cases I just want to bring people up on. One is the federal lawsuit with the 11 plaintiffs from the Pelco Marsh. The city attorney is working on that. We're waiting to hear back from the courts as to how they opine on those 11 defendants or plaintiffs. And I think we're in pretty good shape on that one. She's been working diligently. It's just a matter of time. The second one is the conclusion of the lawsuit over the shooting of Thomas McLean. And if you remember, Thomas McLean was the guy that EPD shot over on Allard Avenue a couple years ago. And that went to a federal jury trial. And the result, there were three allegations, essentially. One is that we illegally seized him by shooting him, the Fourth Amendment, that we battered him by shooting him, and that there was neglect in how we performed that task. The jury found, and there was a $10 million lawsuit initially, the jury found that there was no illegal seizure under the Fourth Amendment, that the shooting was justified, and that there was no battery, the shooting was justified. But they said that we could have handled it better in terms of how we performed in terms of, you know, what we said and where we stood and those kind of things. So what it winds up being, and I talked to a couple of other attorneys around the state because I was a little confused and concerned about, you know, why did this judgment, you know, come out with a $300,000 judgment. So it was a $300,000 judgment, but they found him 50% at fault. So you divide that in half, and so it winds up being a $150,000 judgment for the attorneys for both parties who are suing us altogether. So they split the money of $150,000 between them, and that's not our deal. That's up to them.
They got down to where your guys were standing?
Oh, yeah.
Is that, I mean, is that the kind of stuff you guys have to train to, or is that the nitpicky that sometimes happens and it just happens and you can't worry too much about
it? Well, the other attorneys I talked to around the state who handle this stuff all the time said that juries are now kind of moving towards this negligence thing so that it's a compassion deal. You lost a child, so we're going to give you some money to make you feel better. But what they're not recognizing in the wake of that is that there have people that are damaged along the way. This is difficult on everybody. And so I think that, we're taking things away. If we can do better, we're going to do better. We're not viewing this as just a, you know, that way. But at the same time, I think that we have to be very careful about not second-guessing every single step of the police.
Both ways. You guys doing and us seeing.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
Happy Christmas. See you tomorrow.